Good evening. Well, now we get to talk about Pig on the Pond, and I am excited about that. I will tell you the genesis of this. On Tuesday in our staff meeting, I mentioned to Pastor Farley that it was, in my opinion, the best Pig on the Pond we've ever done. And I solely qualify that based on the actual interactions we had with people. Just some incredible encounters. And I said, you know, I don't feel like I can tell you the stories because they're not my stories. I just watch these things happen. I think I shared that from the pulpit on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, Pastor Farley says, you know what? Why don't we have them tell their stories Sunday night? Here we are. So a little bit of an unusual report, because instead of hearing it from me, you're going to hear it from some of the people that are out there. Afterwards, I'll come back up. I'll talk about some of the final numbers and whatnot. And then we have a slideshow, if you will, of the pictures. And then we'll turn the service over to Pastor Farley. What I want to say, for the people that were selected to come up, okay, we had 47 people from the church come out at least once. Many of you came out multiple times. Some of you came out all 3 days. So I couldn't pick all of you. So based on some of the pictures I had and stuff, I picked 11. So if you didn't get chosen to come up and give a testimony, it's nothing that you did or I don't like you or anything like that. There's no way we could have four. We'd never get out of here tonight. And I'll say the same thing in the pictures. I did the best I could to get pictures of every it was out there. Hopefully you'll see yourself in at least one picture at the end for that. The order will be on the board, just like that. Instead of saying, Pastor Jeff, your name will come up when it's your turn. We're going to start with Mr. Kamish.
So I've been praying before I came up here, and the only request I had was not to be first. So that just shows that it's not according to what we want. But this week at Pig on the Pond, or I think it was like last week or the week before, I had kind of a type, a person that I spoke with. Usually it was a young guy between the ages of 15 and 19. I don't know if they just, you know, naturally gravitate towards me, or that was something I was kind of like, you know, picking on them. But Pig on the Pond, we've gone to several times in the past. And in the past, to be perfectly honest, I don't know if my heart was as in it as it was this year. And specifically, I was praying that God would work on me and not let it be about myself. And this year, I decided that the hook would be my sales line, and I didn't really believe in the hook at first. When we've done Pig on the Pond in the past, the hook is: do you want to see three things that God can't do? And in my opinion, in the past, it's always been whenever you mention God, people run. So I never want to do that, but this year I decided, well, I'll put some emphasis in my voice and maybe I'll be a little more encouraging and sound a little nicer, and maybe they'll just come to me. We'll see. I'll leave that up to the Lord. And I spoke to a handful of guys and some groups. Specifically, there were three guys, Elijah, Colby, and Nick, that I spoke with. And all three of them, I was able to present the entire gospel, which, praise the Lord for that, because on a regular basis, it's not a normal thing to be presenting the gospel in passing. It just doesn't come up naturally. It's something where when you're at the grocery store, you just get through the checkout line, I don't want to talk to anybody, or go to a restaurant, like try to run out of there. Well, this time, it was kind of a controlled atmosphere, like Pastor Farley said, which was awesome, because now everybody's kind of doing the same thing, and now we've got this hook that Amazing Grace sets up for us, so we can hook people in and talk to them. So I made it my mission to do that, and I was able to present the gospel, and I think God actually worked on me the most, because my pride was belittled, because I decided I wasn't going to try and do it myself. I was going to tell them from the gospel and just have my heart in it. And God definitely answered that prayer, although he didn't answer my first prayer of getting up here tonight. But I'm so thankful for that. So I just want to share that with you. And thank you very much.
Y'all have to forgive me. I was sitting in there at the cameras and got a text just now saying, you know, you're giving a testimony tonight? The Lord has a funny way of doing things. I know that. But I guess my greatest thing with Pig on a Pond was I didn't want to go. I signed up for it come Saturday morning. My wife will tell you. Pastor Farley, I might need to borrow your water. But I did not want to go. The devil was just, and I almost called Jeff and said I wasn't going to be there. But I went, and I said, Lord, if you're going to make me go, use me this time like you never did before. And guess what? He did. Dick, remember Dick, you was sitting up here? I'm good. I was just teasing about Pastor Farley's water, but thank you. But Dick said I was the best hooker he ever had. I said, what? He said, I learned something from you today. I said, Dick, there's no way you could learn something from me. I've been watching you all day long. But anyway, and the reason he said that was Dick had this, a riddle. He'd run out there in the middle of everybody and say, hey, let me get this riddle to you, you know. So, but anyway, I told Dick, go sit down. And he did. And God started using me. I've seen people coming down. One guy had a shirt on. This is my tactic that I used. Where it came from, I don't know. The Lord just laid it on my heart. One guy came down. He had a shirt on. It says, I drink. I know everything. And something else it said. So he had his girlfriend and his wife with him. And I just walked over to him. I said, ma'am, does this guy do all that shirt says? She said, yes. I said, well, let me ask you a question. He says he knows everything. Do you think he's a smart guy? She looked at me and says, well, I think he's pretty smart. That's why I have a riddle for you. So next thing I know, I holler at Dick, and I send him over there, and Dick goes to town with him. You don't get away from Dick. And then I said, okay, Lord, that went well, because a lot of people would come up to you. I even had people say they were born again to come up to me and say, I'm born again. I don't need that. And they would literally argue with you, and they'd walk away. And I just wanted to say, what are you born of? Because it really got to me. But anyway, the day went on, and I kept Dick covered up with people. I'd send four or five in at a time. But I was using things like, you know, I thought, well, I need something that's effective. If you had a Florida State shirt on, a Gator shirt on, or any type of shirt on, and you were with your wife or your girlfriend, I was going to ask you, is he really a smart guy? And it actually started to work. And again, we just kept sending people in. And I sent a group in to Jeff. I don't know the outcome. But all I do know this, the Bible says we have to plant a seed, and that's what I did.
I believe that I have participated in Pig on the Pond since our church has been working with Amazing Grace Missions. I work full-time at Disney, and I go to Pig on the Pond when my work schedule allows me to do so. I am an introvert. Like I told my friend Kelly Ivy last year when she participated at Pig on the Pond for the very first time, I am the president of the Introverts for Jesus Christ Club. Would you like to join? I was so glad to see Kelly at Pig on the Pond this year. You should have seen her pass out the gospel tracts and the smiley faces. She did an incredible job. Way to go, Kelly! Despite the fact that I am shy, I enjoy sharing the gospel through passing out the tracts and talking to people from all different walks of life. This year, Jesus sent me two teen young women to talk to. I shared with them the three things that God cannot do, Then we went to the table to discuss the way of salvation. One of the young women said to me, "I have been baptized." I was very concerned. You see, in my home state of Michigan, it is very common for people to believe that it is their baptism that gets them into heaven. They believe that whether they have been sprinkled, spritzed, sprayed, supposedly had holy water hit them, or even been dunked, that it is the water that makes everything all right. I explained to these young women that it is only the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross of Calvary that takes care of our sin problem and makes us acceptable before a righteous and holy God. They said that they believed this and that they were saved. Like the psalmist, I'm amazed that the God who created the universe would care about me, let alone go through the trouble to send his son to save me. Incredibly, Jesus has also allowed me, a nobody, the privilege of helping to build his kingdom. If any true believer in Jesus Christ has not gone to Pig on the Pond, well, you have missed out on one of the greatest blessings that a Christian can have in this world. Thanks for listening.
Evening, everybody. So this was my first time ever doing Pig on the Pond and my second time ever doing anything with tracks. And so I got to confess, I really questioned how effective handing someone something was. And like someone mentioned the name Dick, that guy, he teaches you how to go to people and how to share the gospel with them effectively. And there's something really special about the name and the power, like Pastor Tom had spoken about earlier this morning, about the power that's in words. And one thing that I found was super effective was to say, "Hey, I just want to hand you a reminder and let you know that Jesus loves you." And with that, I probably only had about three people that were like, I don't want anything to do with that. But everybody else did. And there's this one guy, JJ. Absolutely amazing story. So JJ comes up to me and he's like, "Hey, what are you handing out?" I'm like, "Hey, I'm just giving out reminders that Jesus loves you." He's like, "Oh, that's really cool. Like, awesome." And I'm like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "What do I say now?" Yeah. And so then I remembered that Dick had said, "Hey, ask him, you know, what are three things God can't do? How sure they're going to heaven?" And so I turn around and you can't miss the huge sign that says, "How sure are you going to heaven? 50, 70, or 100% sure." And so I asked him and he's like, "I don't know, like 5, 10%. And I'm like, "Well, you know, like what's your salvation look like?" And he's like, "Well, I was baptized." You know, like Anita just taught. The amount of people that believe that baptism saves them is just super sad. And so I had an awesome gospel conversation with JJ, shared with him Romans 10, and just kind of took him through the whole Romans road. And the most amazing thing happened. After we were done, JJ got up, he walked away, and he came back like 20, 30 minutes later and started wanting to hand out tracts with us. And so he came back and was handing out tracts, and then saw him a few other times and be praying that that he reaches out to me. I gave him my number. He hadn't texted me or anything, but really hoping to kind of build a bit of a bond there. But it's just like an awesome testimony that like this stuff does work. Having gospel conversations does work, and it's just awesome. So
hello. I'm so pleased to be able to be one of the many that was at Pig on the Pond. It was a beautiful day, but standing out in that sun was hot. And I had been there maybe 3 hours and giving out the tracts and talking to people. And this one man came up to me and I said to him, I said, do you know there's three things that God cannot do? And he just looked at me and he said, I don't know. And so I said, well, and I took him to the box and we did that. And he stood back and he said, I'm a Catholic. And I said, okay, God died for you too. And so he got into this thing about the Catholic Church, and he went as far back as the 15th century, and he just kept talking and kept talking. And every time he came up for air, I would say, do you know you're a sinner? And he said, yes, and then he'd just keep right on going. And I'm standing there, and this had happened several times, and I'm like, where is Pastor Farringer? And he's not coming to my rescue here. And I mean, I had my eyes fixed on this man's eyes, and except for when I was like doing a quick glance, like, where is he? And so I said, well, I'm in it. So every time he would talk, he would have to come up for breath. And when he did, I gave him another part of the salvation plan and another part. And I knew he was, and then it got to the point where I thought, you know what? I remember Pastor Farringer saying he was in the subway and he was fussing with the guy for a long time and trying to get his point across, and all these other people were passing by. And I said, I think I need to cut this guy off. And so, but I didn't. I just kept going with him. And so when he finally really stopped talking, I said to him, I said, I have one question for you. He said, what's that? I said, who is your high priest? And I was expecting him to say the Pope. And he said, Jesus Christ. So I said, that is who you need to be having as your high priest. And he had the right answer. So I couldn't get him to go back or talk about anything else. We just had to leave it there. I don't know. But he had the right answer. So what more could I say to him? And I was so glad that I stuck with him, that he would say that to me. So anyway, I have been going to Pig on the Pond, I think, since we've had it started here. I haven't been there for 3 days, but what time I gave, I really enjoyed, and the people are just something else. they are just looking for something, and we have the something for them, and I know that we are welcome there. And so that's my story.
Good evening. This was my second time at Pig on the Pond. Last year was my first. I was scared to death. And as you see, I didn't die. I'm here. I was scared this time, but not to death. I was just scared. I had my own way of approaching people. I I might not be the president of the shy people, Christians, but I'm the vice president. You know, I'm right there beside you, Anita. But my my catchphrase to get their attention was, "I have a smile for you," and gave them the track and the sticker with the smiley face on. But after Jackie got there, nobody got past Jackie. But I did notice one thing. Nobody with a dog got by, was paying any attention to anybody. They all walked by with their nose in the air or whatever. So I decided, well, I will go and I will try to reach these people with dogs. And if you know me, I'm a cat person. So for me to go after these people with dogs, that had to be of the Lord. No, because dogs belong at home, not in a public place. So I had fair success, but I did have one man. He had this little, small dog, and I commented how beautiful his dog was. And then he proceeded to tell me his life's history. It was kind of sad. He had some major medical issues and some big problems with his life. Well, it so happened that his issues were some of the same that I had. And by coincidence, one of my doctors had his booth right next to ours. So I was able to tell him about what Dr. Sorshi had done for me, because he wasn't at all interested in that little piece of paper with the smiley face I had. He was just wanting to tell me his sad story and about how when he was in the hospital that everybody abandoned him. Yeah. But since I had the same issues, I could relate. Yeah. And if you know me, I don't talk about my health. You know, when you ask me how I am, as Miss Cindy can know, I kind of try to keep positive, and even if I feel bad, I kind of try to, sorry, Pastor, I listened to your message, so I kind of try to say negative things in a positive way. But no. By the time I finished talking with him about his health, my health, he was interested in finding out at least about the church. On the back of the track, we have the web address of the church. He told me he would look up our address and look at, and listen to some of the sermons. Hopefully he will, because he just moved into Groveland and he said he was looking for a church. So keep this man in your heart. He could barely walk. He could barely talk. He has to rely on others to get around. But this man definitely needs the Lord. But thank you. And if those that are too scared to go. It won't kill you. It didn't kill me.
Well, I kind of have to say what Jody had to say as well. A little bit of history. When I first went to Pig on the Pond, I was just scared to death to hand out a track. And then it became a little bit easier. Then I was scared to death to take them through the board, and then that became a little bit easier. Then I was scared to death to take them through the Bible and just witness fully to them. But with practice, it does get much easier. And one of my favorite sayings is, when you find yourself scared to witness, do it scared. You know, just do it, because that's the right thing to do. But on to Pig on the Pond. I actually thought the Sunday crowd was going to be more receptive than I thought they were. So when Pastor Farringer came up and he was like, oh, this was the best year, I was like, really? I thought it was a callous crowd for the people that I hand out. They were reluctant, some of them, to even take a track, which I had not seen in the past. I had one man that I was witnessing to with the board. The three things God cannot do, and he got the first one right, and he was like, yeah, God cannot lie. And I'm like, oh, that's door number one, you have it. And then door number two, you know, God cannot change. And he was like, okay, I can see that. He didn't guess it ahead of time, but he says he agreed with that. Then we got to door number three. God cannot let anyone into heaven unless you're born again. And he just flatly disagreed with that and said that God can do anything he wanted to do, and so he can let a sinner into heaven. And I'm like, but then that makes him a liar, and he changed his mind and all of this, so that doesn't make sense. And right then and there, he got a phone call. And he's like, oh, I got to go. So that we didn't get to go any further than that with it. But hopefully seeds would be planted and that he would take away something from that, or at least think about it. But to end on a positive note, Mrs. Whiteside and I were handing out the smiley face tracks as well. And we had a bunch of teen girls that we handed them out to, and they immediately took the, you know, tabs off and put them on themselves, and then they went and got more of their teen friends, and they brought them back, and then they wanted stickers, and so they all put them on. So it was definitely, that was a highlight for me this year. But just, I would ask you to pray for people that I thought they were pretty closed-hearted this year, that there would be opportunities for us to be able to witness. Thank you.
Pig on the Pond. I've been going there a few years now, and I have yet to see a pig. I looked over and I saw the lake, but not any pig. So I thought it was just a name. But somebody, in fact, my wife convinced me that she saw the pig. So I actually believe that there was some pig involved. There's another point. I remember before I signed up to go to Pig on the Pond, I saw Pastor Jeff was looking around at people and asking if they signed up. I didn't sign up yet. But when I looked in his eyes and saw the fire coming out, I said I might as well go ahead and sign up. And I was glad I did. In fact, when I went and saw the other people, I recognized that I need to hold on to a theme. The theme that I held on to was smile. Jesus loves you. And I used that theme throughout the whole time that I was handing out tracts. In fact, I believe I'm on earth a long time, and I have handed out more tracts on Saturday than I've handed out in all my life. And I thank God for it. I thank God for the privilege of handing out his words, because the scripture said his word is quick and powerful. And because I knew that, I was able to use the theme, and I think I used it well. Some people rejected my offer, but I believed that I gave so many tracts to so many people that I did not have time to worry about those who rejected my offer. So I am praying and trusting the Lord that he will always direct me to look on Pastor Jeff whenever the time comes for Pig on the Pond. And hopefully this time I will see one of the pigs.
I'm pretty sure the last time I was up here giving a testimony, I was like this tall, and I had to like be held up to do it. So luckily, I don't have to be held up this time. So that's already a good thing. My time at Pig on the Pond, I was there at the morning shift on Saturday and the night shift on Saturday. And I'll tell you this much, I had better luck the night shift than I did the morning shift, which was surprising. Now, for the morning shift, I was there with my grandparents and some other people, and I was kind of a bit scared to hand out the tracts, and I was scared of rejection. But I was able to hand it out. It was very slow the first hour, but as the day went on, more people started coming, and we got more people in the back, so that was really good. And I was watching my grandpa hand out the tracts, and he just had a way. I know he used a water bottle to get somebody, and let me tell you, I do not have that skill. But I was able to give them the tracts, and one thing I realized is people are going to say no, and that takes down your confidence levels. You will get more shy as they say no, and you just got to keep going. There will be people who say yes. There will be people who are thirsty for it and who need it, and they will listen to us. And there were. And we got people in the back, and hopefully these people truly did get saved. Now, fast forward to when I was there that night. I was with my mom, my brother, and everybody else who was there that night. And I was a bit nervous. It was my first time being there at night, and I heard that's when all the people come out and have a certain thing in mind, and it's not to get saved, sadly. And I didn't know how it was going to work out. I thought it was going to be terrible, and I thought the morning was going to be better. And as it went on, we were able to get the tracks out, and I learned from some very important people that what I did that morning was way harder. I was asking, would you like a track? And that gives people the option to say, yes, I want it, or no, I don't want it. But I saw people were just saying, here's a track, take this track. And it doesn't really give them the option to say no. Most people will just take it. And that worked. And during the morning when I was there, I was watching. I sat back with my dad for a couple times when he was witnessing. And the first thing that came to my mind when he finished witnessing to the first people was, I never want to do that. That is not what I'm good at. I will hand out the tracks. I do not want to be back in the booth. That night, the people who were back in the booth, they were witnessing, and all of them were taken. And I had the clipboard and the riddles that Mr. Saunier was using, and I got someone with it. I had two boys that I got with it. And I asked them, are you 50, 75, or 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die? One of them said, yes, I'm 100% sure. And the other said, no, I'm not. And so I said, all right, follow me, I can help. And so I got him back there, and I was like, all right, now to hand it, there's no one to hand it off to. All right, what do I do now? I can't just say, all right, I'm sorry, the people, they're taken. Carry on with your night, bye-bye. So I decided, all right, well, God will give me strength. This is clearly what he wants me to do. I'm not going to say no to what God wants me to do, because that is never good. And I took him back, I had him sit down, they called their mom over, and I was explaining. And I was able to get through it, and I hope I was able to be a good witness to the one who wasn't saved. And I asked him, I said, all right, what are you going to do now? And he said, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to get saved. So I said, all right, perfect. Now here's this special track. It has everything I just explained, just in case you kind of forget, because I know it's a long night, you're going to do more. He says, all right, he takes it, and I say, I'm sorry if it wasn't perfect. That was my first time doing this. And the mom just looked at me and she said, listen, that was really good. You did good. That was really inspiring. So then I said goodbye to them and I was like, all right, I did it. I'm done. Boom. There we go. I got the one person. All right, are you guys ready for more people? All right. I decided the riddle tactic is really working. No wonder Mr. Saunier was using it. So I get another person and it's a grandmother, a mom, and a little baby in a stroller. And I come up to the mom and I say, I have a riddle for you. And I was able to get her. And I said, all right, now here's a box right here because I think somebody was using the doors. And I got the box, and at first she was a little cautious. She was like, I'm not looking in the box. She said, "There, it's Halloween. There is something in that box. It's not going to be anything related to why Jesus died." And I said, trust me, I know it's Halloween. I know there are pranks. This is not a prank. You're going to want to look in it. She looked in it, and she just smiled, and she called her mom over. Well, yeah. And the mom was like, no. And she was like, Mama, it's all right. You can look in it. It's not a prank. So I said, yes, it's not a prank. I know it's Halloween. We're not doing that. And so she looks in it, and she just smiles and then just walks off and gets on a phone call. So I start witnessing to the mom, and she has her little baby in a stroller, so she kind of had to get the baby to settle down. And I said, all right, are you 50, 75, or 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die? She says, I'm 100% sure. And I was like, yes, all right, boom. I don't need to worry about getting someone back there again. And I asked her, I'm like, all right, well, why are you 100% sure? And she says, well, I got baptized today. All right, well, that's okay. I guess I'm doing this again. All right, God, please help me. Give me strength. I don't know if I can do another person. And I say, well, yes, you got baptized. Well, that doesn't mean you're saved. And she just said, what do you mean? And I said, where in the Bible does it say that getting baptized will get you saved? And she said, well, when Jesus was getting baptized, he said, this do as an example. And said, yes, an example that you are saved. And I said, you know what saved means, right? And she said, yes, believing Jesus died for you. And I said, yes, that's how you get saved, is by asking for forgiveness, telling him that you believe he died for your sins. And I said, have you prayed with that prayer? Are you thankful for him? Have you asked for his forgiveness? She said, yes, yes, I am. And I say, all right, is it all right if I pray with you right now, just thanking Jesus and helping and asking him to help us be a good example? She said, yes, we prayed. By the time she was praying, she was in tears, and she was just saying, thank you so much. And then she walked off, and I said, booyah. I prayed, I got someone, I witnessed, all right, we're done. Perfect. I was like, you know what? I'll try the riddle one more time. It's not really going to hurt. So I did it again, and I got these two teen girls, and guess what? The people witnessing were witnessing to other people. So I was like, all right. God, I get it. I said earlier today I wasn't going to do this, but this is cruel. So I got him back in the booth, and I was just like, please, God, please help me. Help me. Just come. Give me strength and courage to do this. And he did. But I was still a stuttering mess and was shaking. But I was able to do it, and I witnessed to them, and it was very hard because they were teen girls, and I'm a teen girl, and that just kind of chaotic. They were just laughing at everything. I made a mistake, they would laugh, I would laugh. It was very awkward, and yeah. But this is when Satan really decided, all right, you did a good job with the first two, I let you off. I'm going to lay it down with these ones, and he did. The fireworks started as I was doing this, and I know that might seem not like a bad thing, except for the fact that one of the girls I was witnessing to was scared of fireworks. And each time it would go off, she would jump and scream, and then they would laugh and laugh and laugh. And, yeah, that kind of got them off on the point. So then I had to get them back in. I'm like, all right, back to what I was saying. And then I said, let's say you're over at the carnival ride, you're riding the Ferris wheel or something. It breaks, you fall, I'm sorry, you die. Where are you going? You going to heaven or are you going to hell? And they're like, I don't know. I'm probably going to hell. I said, all right, I can help you with that. And I was able to get them, showed them the Bible verses, and I was able to give them the little card that I gave the other boy. And I explained, I said, here's this. I gave them both a done book, and I said, all right, what are you guys going to do now? The one girl said, I'm going to go home and get saved. And the other one, who was scared of fireworks, said, I'm going to go home and I'm going to do this with my sister, just show her, and we're both going to get saved together. Said, all right, perfect. Bye. And they walked off. We went our separate ways. Maybe, like, I don't even know, an hour later or something, we were just in there doing our thing. They were handing out the tracts. I was just like, all right, I need a break, just drinking my soda. I know. I needed soda after all that. And I watch a police woman run. I'm like, uh-oh, somebody messed up. And then I see another guy run, and I'm like, oh, the woman's place. Wait, no, the guy's place. The guy's chasing the woman. Isn't it supposed to be the other way? The police officer chasing the guy. I'm like, oh, wait, that guy's got a gun and stuff. He's a police. I could see his badge and stuff. And I said, all right. I'm like, wait, but what are they chasing? Then I hear screaming, and everybody's like, ah, run, fight, gun! And everybody's just stampeding down. And we all were told to get out of the way so that we didn't get in the stampede and to just not be in the running mess. And everybody's just running. The cops are running this way. People are running that way. Everybody's screaming, there's a fight, there's a gun. And it was kind of chaotic. And that got me thinking, that doesn't just happen in horror movies. This, or in whatever comedy, superhero movie, it will happen in real life. And there could, if the person really did have a gun and did shoot someone, where would they have gone? Would they have gone to heaven or hell? Things will happen. And it's not a joke. It's the truth. It's going to happen. We need to be prepared, and we need to know where we're going when we die, which is why we're here, is to spread the gospel to them. And it might be scary the first time. I know it was definitely scary for me. Like I said, I was a stuttering, shaking mess, and it's definitely pretty nerve-wracking. And I just had to trust that God would give me the strength to do it, and he did. And I was able to show them the gospel and explain it to them. And I just, all I can do right now is pray that those people were true when they said that they were going to go home and get saved. And that's what we got to continue doing, is we've got to continue going around spreading the gospel and just explaining, because as every day goes on, the world gets worse and more things happen. There's more craziness, and we need to know where we're going when we die. And we need to make sure other people know where they're going when they die. And hopefully it won't be hell. Thank you.
Guys, hopefully I don't choke too much. My testimony for that pig on the pond was just so many I can't even count. If I start elaborating on every little thing, basically we'll be here till tomorrow. So I just got a select few that I want to talk about. But man, beautiful, beautiful job, everybody. Testimony so far. When we got there Saturday night, it was about 7 p.m. Well, it's a little different up here when you stand up here looking at everybody. I'm just kidding. I'm pretty good at talking to people, but forgive me for being a little shaky up here. We arrived 7 p.m. Saturday night. Salute to Pastor Farringer for getting everything rocking and rolling all weekend long for us and making sure everybody was out there. But we got there about 7 o'clock, and it was pretty interesting. I was a little nervous at first, just for testifying and witnessing to people. But it was, there was a bunch of families out there and kids everywhere, and we were just handing out tracts. It was wonderful. I had an Indian family stop by. Mr. Saunier was not out there, so I kind of just put my vocals out there. It was like, come on in, see what three things Jesus can't do. Me and Kamesh were out there. And they came in and they nailed it, and we prayed together. And you could really feel the Lord's Spirit out there working. It was beautiful. And it's my second time doing it. But as everybody said, you know, it's like just jump in and fight. You know, you put on the armor of God and keep trucking. You know, you try to represent. And me personally, I've been on both sides of the fence. I don't want to make this too much about me, but I was very familiar with being the drunk guy at those events. That was my thing back in the day. And man, what a difference it is to be on the other side of the fence, walking with the Lord now, with my family, my church family, all of you guys. It's just beautiful. Being out there to witness to people that you don't know, walking up to a complete stranger out of your comfort zone, just going up there and saying, you know, hey, don't ever forget that Jesus loves you and that he's here for you and I'm here for you. Can I pray for you for anything? Do you need anything? It brings the love of the Lord to reality. And it's special. You know, as soldiers for Christ, we have a job to do. And just like everybody said up here, you know, we have to fight the fight, because we're outnumbered in this world. And the more closer I get to God, the harder I see how we have to fight. And, you know, these ministries that we do are beautiful because it brings our community together, brings our church family together, brings our kids involved, you know. I don't want to go on too long because I know we have a service to do, but there's a couple people I want to talk about, and it was just beautiful. So Saturday night when we were out there, there was a lady named Soraya. She was probably about 62, I want to guess, roughly, elderly lady. And she comes up to me, and I'm showing her the boards of three things that Jesus can't do. And, you know, she already knew all the answers. She's been around. And I asked her, I said, is there anything I could do for you? She says, no, I'm good. I said, well, do you want to pray? So right there, we bowed our heads, and we praised the Lord for allowing the Spirit to move through the crowd. And it was beautiful. My wife, Sheena, was out there with me, and it was also very beautiful, too, because I'm an extrovert, she's an introvert. And she doesn't like going and doing certain things, but me taking a step back and moving to the other side of the line and letting her work, watching her interact with people, just shows how much God can make people grow. I mean, every day, you know. She was handing out tracts, talking to random strangers, expressing her love for the Lord and wanting to people to come in. And one young man, particularly, I forgot his name. I think it was Tyler or Matt or something like that. I forget his name, but he touched our heart because he was a young college kid going to UCF. And he was actually working for the Bang distribution company out there, handing out free energy drinks. So he stopped by and talked to us. And Sheena got a hold of his heart. God was tugging on his heart as he was walking by. And he was with a coworker that was kind of like tugging on him to, come on, let's go, you know. But he stood his ground and he listened to us. And he really heard the word. And the thing was that worked. I stepped in because, once again, you know, I don't want this all to be about drinking and stuff, but that was a big part of my life. I could relate to that. So I stepped in, and it felt right. And I says to him, he says, you know, I like going to church and stuff, but I like to drink and this and that. And I was like, listen, man, going to church is like exercising. You take baby steps. And the God will implant in your heart what is right and what is wrong, and slowly pull everything out of your life that you don't need anymore, you know? And just told him, like, you know, start small. Start by gratitude. Start by prayer and stuff like that. But he was very listening. I don't know if he ever came back, but I hope he did. You know, it was really nice to be out there, spending time with the church family. Me and Kamesh, we hung out together. We also went back Sunday. And boy, I tell you what, I spoke once about the full armor of God. And on Sunday, you need it. Because I tell you what, it's a rough crowd out there. We do have positive. I won't drag it down. But, you know, Sundays just goes to show that you can get discouraged out there. And you can't let the devil get in your mind and push you away from when people tell you no. You know, you just have to stand firm for what you believe in and keep bringing glory to God, you know. And really, it was a wonderful time. But I'll close up with that. And, one more thing. On the Sunday crowds, we need youngsters out there. Because I tell you what, Jeremiah and Nixon were out there working on Sunday, handing out those stickers, and a lot of people were saying no. But when you got those two kids out there handing them out, man, the people, they were enjoying it. But that's really all I wanted to say, and God bless you, and thank you.
When Pastor Jeff asked me to make some comments about Pig on the Pond, I told him that nothing really exciting had happened to me, so I declined. But he asked me to share anyway. So what I would like to do tonight is talk with you about why it is so important for me to participate in Pig on the Pond. But to do that, I have to go back and give you a little bit of my history. It started about 38 years ago when Pastor Stewart had a very special class on the Romans Road. My husband and I both learned a great deal about how we could effectively witness to other people. Well, I'll never forget the first time that I went out on visitation. I was with Barbara Camp Sr., and we went to the home of an elderly lady. She lived in a mobile home, and she actually got saved that night. I was so excited when I got home that evening. It was hard for me to sleep. I was on a high like I had never experienced before. Someone was going to go to heaven and not have the horrible torment of hell, because Jesus had died for them, and I obeyed and went and told my story. I will also never forget how absolutely petrified I was before I walked into that house. What if she asked me a question and I didn't have the answer? What if I told her something that was wrong? What if I forgot the verses I had memorized? Or worse yet, what if I angered her and she asked me to leave her home? I had so little faith. Although I had prayed earnestly before I went into her home, I really did not understand back then what trusting God really meant. While I did want to obey God's commandments, I was the one who sat in the pew and felt guilty every time the Great Commission was mentioned. I did not realize back then that when God asks us to do something, He empowers us. He gives us the power and the grace to get the job accomplished. Well, now fast forward to Pig on the Pond. Those of you who know me well know that due to an illness 6 years ago, I have very limited lung capacity. And any physical exertion, and that includes walking, is very difficult for me because I have a lot of pain. I also have a lot of other physical limitations that cause me a lot of problems, and it would be very easy for me to remain at home, to avoid embarrassments, and to avoid any possible uncomfortable circumstances. But I can sit. And I can talk. And I've learned that I can trust God for the rest. So I ate a great deal of humble pie as I allowed Victoria to wheel me in my wheelchair from my car to the open door booth. And then when my shift was over, I was really humbled to have Pastor Farringer wheel me back to my vehicle again. You hear sometimes how you have to take the first step. You have to step out in faith. I couldn't step out. I got wheeled. But seriously, every time that I do something for the Lord, my faith increases. And it's just that much easier to do something for the Lord the next time. God is so faithful. In the years that I have been attending Pig on the Pond, he has taken care of all of my challenges. And he has blessed me with the opportunity to talk with other people and let them know how they can be sure that they are going to heaven. I try to impress on the children in my Sunday school class that God uses ordinary people. Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, Daniel, the list is endless. Pastor Farringer just ended a Wednesday night series talking about the apostles. Each one of them was just ordinary. And yet, God greatly used each one of them. I am very ordinary. And I'm very humbled to think that God could use me. I was born back in the 40s. And I've led somewhat of an unusual life. But nothing in my life has ever given me the joy, the true happiness that talking about my Savior or serving my Savior has given me. I love attending Pig on the Pond. I love working with all the rest of you. Many of you in this room were there. And I'm really not even directing my comments to you. I would really like to impress upon those of you who feel that witnessing isn't for you, you are the one that I'm really talking with. You are missing a wonderful joy. You're actually missing one of God's greatest blessings that he could give. It's nothing that I did. God does all the work. We need to just trust and obey. Because he is faithful.
All right. Let's clean a couple things up here. First, Miss Karen DeFontes. When I'm at Pig in the Pond, I do try and sit back and watch everybody. There's a few times you'll see the bouncer come out where I jump off my chair because I feel the bad news coming. I never took my eyes off Karen with the encounter she had. At one point, Dick Saunier said, are you going to rescue her yet? And I said, nope. And I never needed to. She did great. The comments about the Sunday crowd. Sunday is a very different day at Pig on the Pond. So the Sunday crowd is the crowd of people that don't go to church, and they ain't happy we brought church out there. So Sunday is challenging. The only testimony I'm going to give, you bring the slideshow back up, and you can just leave it up at this point. You don't need my face up there. This guy here was awesome. What I do at Pig on the Pond is I look for the people that I think are going to be the most challenging to talk to. Actually, bring the camera back one more time. I'll show you my trick first. I look for the bikers. I look for the drunks. I look for the people that some of the people tracks are like, nope, I'm not. So I'll jump out in front of them, and I pat my pockets. I do this. I go, and I'll look right at them, and they got to stop. And I'll say, hey, do you have change for a big bill? And they always go, oh, well, you know, and then I pull out my big bill, and I go, yeah, can you break that? They always start laughing. There's a track on the back. I give it to them, and we have a great encounter. So everybody's got their way to hook people. But bring that slideshow back up now, please, guys. But this guy here, he walked up, walked past. I don't remember even who was out there, but walked past the crowd. Nobody's going to give this guy a track. His scowl on his face. Walked right up to the box. This is See Why Jesus Died. Looked in it and started crying. Come to find out he'd been saved for 6 years. And we talked for a little while. I'm glad somebody snapped the picture because that was my greatest memory, was talking to him. And he said, you know, 6 years ago I would have flipped this table over. And now I'm just so happy you guys are out here and that the Lord saved me. So we have an impact at Pig on the Pond. This guy here, this was neat. Somebody was having an encounter with his son. He stood back on the other side of the street watching. And like I said, a lot of times I play the bouncer part. You know, I watch, and I've seen Dick Saunier does this, Pastor Farley does this too. If you're talking to somebody and they got a friend or a brother or sister, somebody that is being get agitated and they're standing in the street waiting, and we'll go distract them. You know, we'll run that interference so you can continue the encounter. That's Dad next to him. Dad wasn't happy. And I was waiting for Dad to come over. Dad never came over. He let his kid sit there the whole time and talk. Gave the kid a Dunn book, and he left. And in his hand, on his right hand down there, you'll see the Dunn book. This was nowhere near our booth. I was so intrigued at what Dad was going to do when he ripped the book out of his hand. I followed him for a while until he finally put the book in his pocket and took it home. So what came from that? I don't know. But boy, that's another seed that was planted right there. This picture here, you'll notice a few things. Kamish is talking to this kid. They're having a great encounter. Every other single head is looking to the left. This was right after the stampede. The fireworks are right there. It started, literally just off to the left of the camera. That was a very exciting moment for most of us because it was right after the fireworks. There was thousands of kids standing around that spot right there because that's the view. That's where they watched fireworks from. And some idiot screamed, "He's got a gun!" And all these kids took off. They trampled the people. They trampled the booth. I have the picture because of our table, because you can see. I hope you know me well enough to know that I would never let our table look that messy. But it nearly got flipped over with the crowd. So that was a great teaching moment for my kids who are like, could we just walk around a little bit? No. And then they saw why. A kid ended up in a hospital from that. I was on Fox 35 and everything else. So that was a little bit exciting. Here's another thing I do. About once an hour is I walk up and down the pathway looking for tracks. I'm always intrigued when they're thrown away. Usually there's two or three every time I go out. Usually at least once I'll find one that's been ripped up where people are really angry. Same thing just once. But this is the first time I found one in the porta potty. So I don't know if they were reading it and they were done and they left it there. We didn't put it there, okay? We planted seeds, but we weren't throwing out stuff like that. So I was challenged. I'm like, do I leave it here for the next person? I took it. I cleaned it up. I was a little worried, so I threw it away. But that was a new one. This is Jackie witnessing a guy in a golf cart, and I was intrigued because he wanted to go, and Jackie wouldn't let him leave, and I couldn't figure out how he got Pastor Tom's picture on the front of his golf cart. I just thought that was the neatest thing. I was like, is that how Jackie? And then I tried to get a better picture, and then boom. Pastor Tom just right in there. All right, that's my testimony. I love that. All right, here's the numbers. We had 53 professions of faith, 18 people that came back that were already saved but they needed assurance. Really, the question was, well, they were saved, but nobody bothered to tell them, well, if you're saved, you're always saved. We had 7 other witnessing contacts where we just had a great encounter with people. The average age of the person we talked to out of that whole group was 15 and a half years old. We had 47 people from the church come out. I'm sorry. We got this brand new computer, and it's just kicking fast. We handed out 8,067 tracts, give or take. I'll say that because some of these tracts are really hard to count. So that is my best guess. 5,800 of them were church tracts that had full gospel plan, our church information. Those are the smiley face. Those are the one tracts. Those are the which way would you go tracts. And we handed out another 2,200 other tracts. These are the fun stuff we get from Antris and Genesis and some other places like the big dollar bill I have and things like that that people love. We handed out 42 done books. The thing with a done book is we don't hand out done books unless we think somebody's really going to take it home and read it. When I tell the people out there, hey, listen, if you have a really good contact with somebody, but you know they're not, hey, I don't really want to come sit down and read the Bible right now, but I'm interested. If you feel moved, give them a done book. I mean, those things are fantastic. We handed out 5,000 smiley face stickers. It was just an absolute great time. So I want to say thank you to everybody that participated. Thank you to people that prayed. And thank you for, I mean, it's your tithes and offerings that allow us to do things like this. Picking the pond ain't cheap. I'm sorry, but I think this one was worth it. It truly was. We're going to end this with a video. And then Pastor Farley has to figure out what to do from there with the time that's left in the service. But I'll tell you this year, Pastor, thank you for doing that because I so much more enjoyed hearing it from them than from me. So thank you. The video, it's a little awkward because there's no sound on the video. The reason there's no sound on the video is because I want everybody at home to be able to watch it as well. And if I put music on there, Facebook will censor it and say that we're playing unlicensed music. Which then I go back and fight with them and say, we have a license to broadcast, and sometime it'll come back up and stuff. But I didn't feel like doing that tonight. So it's going to be quiet. So feel free to cheer, clap, yell, laugh, whatever. Make the noise that you want to make because Facebook won't censor that. Thank you.
I can give some closing remarks while we're watching some of those photos, if you don't mind. Let's give a round of applause for Pastor Farringer and all of the folks that participated. And by the way, Mineola Safe Night Out is coming up, so if you didn't get a chance to do that, you have another opportunity. In 1970, I was 5 years old. I didn't know anything. I literally knew nothing because I was 5 years old. Five-year-olds don't know anything. I was standing because in my kindergarten, they would take us from the kindergarten building over to the main school building at Our Lady of Peace Catholic School. And so we're going with the class, and because there was a big boulevard between the kindergarten and the main building, you had to get crossed across the road, so there's a crossing guard. And so it was very normal, and the teacher, now remember, this is 52 years ago. The teacher that was taking us across, his name was Mr. Ring. I've forgotten, Mrs. Neuswanger, I've forgotten a lot of things in my life. But somehow this day, I didn't forget. A five-year-old being taken in kindergarten to some activity. I don't remember what the activity was. I don't remember what we did when we went there. But I remember crossing the road. Because there was a guy at the crosswalk, and he was wearing sandwich boards. Do you remember sandwich boards? The young people here, you guys probably have never seen it. Go Google sandwich boards. And what they used to do in the old days is that it was a form of advertising. A guy would wear literally two pieces of plywood with shoulder things, and he'd walk around, and it would say, you know, coffee at Jim's, you know, 5 cents or whatever, and it was a way of advertising. Well, this guy was wearing a sandwich board, and the sandwich board said something along the lines of, Jesus is returning, repent of your sins, and be saved. Now remember, I'm 5 years old and I know absolutely nothing. So I'm standing there and Mr. Ring, who is a teacher in a Catholic school, now I'm not dogging on Catholics. All I'm saying is, you know, we got pictures of Jesus and we talk about Jesus and it's really super normal for in our school to talk about Jesus. And Mr. Ring spent like 5 minutes arguing with this guy and telling him how foolish he was for walking around with a signboard saying that Jesus is returning. And as a five-year-old child, I didn't understand why my teacher was arguing with a man about Jesus. I'm just thinking, well, it's Jesus, so it's all good, right? Why would he be picking on this man? That was 52 years ago, and I remember what the sign said, and I remember what the conversation was. You know, when I was in seminary, I heard guys all the time talking about door knocking doesn't work, handing out tracts doesn't work, all that stuff doesn't work, we're past all that. Well, if your goal is to get people to pay for the million-dollar building that you built, and this is not unusual. If that's your goal, then yeah, you're probably right. But if your goal is to communicate the Word of God, then can I tell you this? Everything works. The Bible says this in Mark 13:9. Jesus says, "Take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you to the councils and in the synagogues. You shall be beaten. You shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake." This is literally the time that this guy was advertising, right? "For a testimony against them. And the gospel must be first published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given to you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." Now, there's a prerequisite for this, you know, and I think for verses, this verse and for verses like it, if we are interested in the things of God, if we are reading the Bible, if we are walking with the Lord, then we understand these things. If we're halfway familiar, we're talking about a baptism. We had a baptism class this morning, and folks were giving their baptism testimonies. And for them, it was just working through really what they knew about themselves, but now they're thinking about it and applying it together. Yes, we do have to think about it. Yes, some effort has to happen on our part. But what Jesus is saying is, don't worry about what you'll say. Literally, the Spirit of God will speak through you. And I heard this over and over from the testimonies were so wonderful and moving tonight. I heard this over and over. I was scared to death. Remember when that was said over and over? Well, someone else said that. In Exodus 4, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who hath made the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and I will teach thee what thou shalt say. And whether it's Victoria or Mrs. Neuschwanger or any one of them, they went into it scared to death. And the Lord gave them something to say. Jeremiah the prophet said in Jeremiah chapter 1, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. I love that. Don't be afraid of their faces. They're going to say no to me. Yeah, but as Jody revealed to us today, they won't kill you. Don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Isn't that beautiful? You have it. What does it take to do this, Pastor Farley? You already have it. You possess the armor of God. You possess the Spirit of God. Now it's just a matter of, as Anita said, just going out there and doing it. Of overcoming the shyness, overcoming the inhibition, and saying, you know what, forget all that. I'm just going to go, and whatever happens, happens. And look, Anita didn't die either. David said, the Bible says these are the last words of David. And he said, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my mouth. Beautiful. In Isaiah in chapter 50, he said this. And this is, I think this is was witnessed by everyone here. And you say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm not sure if I really said the right things. Did I say everything that God wanted me to say? Well, what about the signboard guy 52 years ago? How do you think I am sure he was an older man. He's dead now. It's not possible that he or Mr. Ring, at their ages, they're not alive anymore. What do you think when that signboard guy, when he got done and he went home, what do you think he said? Well, no one paid attention again. No one heard me, no one listened. But I got news for that man. He's going to learn in heaven that a 5-year-old child stood there and listened to what he was saying and believed. Now, I didn't get saved in that moment, but there was a solid seed sown in my heart. Isaiah said, Isaiah 54, The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. All we're doing is we're going, trying to find the weary ones, and we're trying to give them the word of God. And I declare that every single person who opened their mouth at Pig on the Pond, each one was perfectly successful in what they did. Amen? Amen. Why? Because they're sharing God's word. And the Lord said in Isaiah, the same book of Isaiah, My word shall not return unto me void. If you're speaking God's word, howsoever awkward you feel like it is, I'm sorry. If you measure it by man's measure, yeah, you know, maybe it's not ticking the boxes, and maybe it's not selling the tchotchkes, or it's doing making the hits, or you don't have as much subscribers on YouTube, or however men measure it, yeah. But if you measure it the way God measures it, and you shared the word of God faithfully, you were successful. Amen? I want to thank everybody for knee-shaking, going out there, and guess what? We're doing it again next year. Amen? And every chance we get to go share the gospel. I'm just so happy. And I, myself, you say, Pastor Farley, you've done it. Well, my knees shake a little bit too. It's never just, I got this. Every encounter is unknown, and it's always a little bit threatening, or there's some pressure there. You've already learned what you learn is to overcome it and do it, and God will approve and God will bless. Amen? Let's stand together. It's late. Just pretend we just sang. And we're going to close in prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful. I'm so thankful, Lord. What a wonderful church. What wonderful witnesses. What a wonderful effort as we go out and do what you've asked us to do, is to be witnesses. You said, Lord, you didn't ask us, please go be witnesses. You said, they shall be witnesses unto me. And this prophecy has been proven true again. We're thankful, Lord. And I pray as we continue this week, it's Pig on the Pond week again. We still have tracks. We still have a voice. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us divine encounters this week. Maybe it'll be in our opportunity in Publix or Walmart or in our neighborhood or place of work, that, Lord, we can swing to the spiritual, change the subject, and make Jesus the focus of what we're saying to others. Help us to do that always. We'll give you the glory for it. And we pray this and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.